Chris Chelios announcing his retirement officially in Detroit. He goes to work for the Detroit Red Wings. Chris, thanks for spending some time with us. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Tell me about this decision. Now, why now?
It was time. I always said, you know, that when it was time to hang him up, and, you know, obviously I've had to think about that over the past few years here. But ultimately, I made my decision when I was in Atlanta, you know, playing a limited role. And the bottom line was that, to me, it wasn't worth it to be away from my family at this point. And we're trying to look at her crucial years, especially for my daughter being a senior. I would have played another, you know, 5 years in Detroit in any situation, but it's really tough being away from your family, and I've just been lucky enough and fortunate that I never had to deal with that, you know, for the latter part of my career.
You might have just answered the next question. You could have played? You would have played next year if the right circumstance?
You know what? I would have liked to, but like I said, I don't think the opportunity was there. You know, I came and played for the Wolves. It was a great experience down in the American League, and I came out of the gate pretty good there and got a little frustrated that I never did get the call from anybody. And then I think as a gesture, you know, in good faith, I think Don Waddell and, you know, the relationship they had with the Chicago Wolves, it was just a gesture in good faith to give me an opportunity to play for Atlanta and then go back to Chicago at the end of the year if they didn't make the playoffs. So, like I said, realistically, no. You know, I don't believe there's an opportunity out there for me. And to be honest, I think, like I said, I didn't want to go out on top necessarily. My theory was go out when you're down and you're done and there's nothing left, and I think I accomplished that.
Today, obviously, a day for you, a reflection. I'm sure there's been no shortage of questions, of memories and things, and we have some for you. We had Jeremy Roenick, your teammate, on so many occasions about a month ago, and we talked about your peer group, Roenick and Modano and Tkachuk, and what you guys have meant to USA Hockey. Do you have a sense of what you guys did in moving the game forward as a group? Is there a sense of pride about your accomplishments as an American hockey player?
I think so, but I think I would give a lot more credit to the group before us, the Arruzionis, the Christians, the Johnsons, the Brontons, because the bottom line is by winning the 80 Olympics, you know, and drawing all that attention to U.S.-born players and college hockey players, that paved the way for the group that you just mentioned there, the Modanos, the Tkachuks, myself, and all that group of guys. And, you know, if it hadn't been for them, we wouldn't have got the recognition we did back in college or in juniors. So I think, like I said, the fact that we were able to compete and improve as a group, we had a pretty good core of guys there, Mike Richter, you know, Pat LaFontaine, I can go on and on.
Sure.
But it really was the 80 team that really, you know, put us on the map, and then the emergence, you know, of people being recognized and getting the opportunity to play in U.S. development programs and getting in the NHL, it made the world a difference for U.S. hockey.
But you,
I mean, look at our U.S. junior team, what they've accomplished the past few years, competing with everybody and winning that a couple times. So we're right there now.
See, that was my point, is that you would have seen this right in front of your eyes. The hockey world went from Canada battling the USSR to, let's be perfectly honest, the number one rivalry in the world right now is Canada and the U.S.
Yeah, we're right across the border there, and for whatever reason, we got you guys scared up there. So it's nice. It's become a great rivalry, especially that junior national. But that's crazy. I mean, you'd never see it getting that attention in the U.S., but, I mean, I was in Canada last year for that championship game. I think we were playing in Hamilton or Toronto for the American League team, and it was amazing from coast to coast to watch the attention, to see those kids at that age, you know, what they're put at front and center, and it was I tell you what, the game wasn't a letdown. It was an unbelievable game. So, it's been great. Like you said, the rivalry. Hopefully, it's all in good fun and good taste with respect for each other. It gets a little out of hand, but you take your hockey very serious up there.
Chris Chelios retiring today, a guest here on the Fan 960, fan960.com. Dean?
Hey, Chris, I'm always interested when we talk to guys who are walking away from the game, and they'll maybe try and capsulize their career into maybe it's like two phases or three phases. I can't help but wonder for you, how many phases of your career? I mean, you've played for different teams, but how many different phases do you really look at?
You know, I guess I go by, you know, how winning the Stanley Cup, and the first time I won it, I was young, you know, it was exciting, a big party. And then winning it the second time, I had my family. was able to share with them. So that was two different phases. I guess the biggest difference. But I think, you know, just starting a family, it changed me a little bit on the ice. Thank God my kids were too young to remember all the evil things I did to the other players back in the day. And, you know, I've asked for forgiveness for that today. But, yeah, like I said, I've been very fortunate. I've been in great teams. You know, maybe the only letdown I had was in Chicago when I felt like I kind of let the organization down towards the end there of my career in Chicago. But like I said, I couldn't carry the load. I was getting up in age, and fortunately, I found a nice fit in a powerhouse team in Detroit and managed to play another 10, 11 years.
We were talking just before you called that if you were a professional wrestler, you would have been one of the most hated guys ever. You seem to wear it pretty well. Obviously, you were cognizant of the fact that you were not well liked in enemy Barnes. Did you enjoy that role?
I did not so much. I enjoyed it. But it was absolutely a challenge of not wanting to fail or back down. So it motivated me a little. I mean, well, there was nothing better than going in the Boston Garden or into Quebec or in Philadelphia and trying to shut 18,000 people up by either laying someone out or winning a big game. I enjoyed it. I'd be lying if I decided I didn't enjoy it. And it was great. I think at the end of the day, it's like the people said when I came to Detroit. They didn't like me when I was, you know, with Chicago, but as soon as I came to Detroit, they forgot about everything and accepted me as part of their family. So, like I said, it was all part of the game, and I hope people at the end of the day will realize that, the fans, and understand that it was never anything personal. You know, I was just out there doing my thing, and if you see me in a restaurant or a bar, I'll be more than happy to say hi and have a beer with you and talk about those old times.
Tough to play against. Were you tough to play with as well? Because there are stories about how you would keep your teammates accountable if need be.
Yeah, I think most of my leadership qualities were on the ice, and I once in a while I'd snap off, and that was mostly in Chicago, though. That was the Mike Keenan days, and those were some crazy days. I think we had more fights amongst our teammates in morning skates and practices than we did in the real game. So that was kind of a crazy time. They're a very undisciplined team, but Mike Keenan thrived off that. We were an intimidating team, a big, tough team. But as far as my teammates are concerned, I think, you know, I've said this a few times, and I don't like, you know, talking about myself, but the biggest thing and most important thing to me was the respect I got from my teammates and that they liked me. And I think you can go down through my career, and I mean every single player, you know, that played with, that I think I got along with everybody, with the exception of maybe Brett Lebda, which I yelled and screamed at like a kid, trying to teach him like I would my own son. And it was all for his own good. And I think at the end he understood that because we had some good talks. And but like I said, that was really important to me, how my teammates looked at me and how they respected me.
Legendary Chris Chelios joining us here on the Fan 960, fan960.com. We'll throw in the local angle, Chris. This year the Heritage Classic comes to Calgary. We celebrate the Montreal-Calgary rivalry from the 80s, the two Stanley Cup finals. You played in both of them. What do you remember of those battles against Calgary in the finals?
I'll tell you, some great playoff series with them. Not so much even in the finals. We had that one in with Chicago. I remember the triple overtime where Joe Murphy scored a big goal. I think it was triple overtime, I believe. Then, you know, obviously winning the Cup in 86 when we scored that quick goal off the faceoff. I think it was Mike McPhee from Scrutland. So a lot of good memories. I kind of forgot I left Calgary out of the mix. I don't think they liked me very much there either. But like you said, great battles. You know, playing against some great players there, and Doug Risebrough, you know, Doug Gilmore at the time, Lanny McDonald. You know, it's something if I look back, and, you know, not to sound corny, but, you know, I look back and it's a big accomplishment. Some of the people that I've played against, I mentioned it today, you know, playing with Guy Lafleur, you know, playing against some of the greatest players ever. It's, you know, I never would have thought I'd be in this position at this, you know, at this point of my life. And, you know, the Calgary was right up there. Every Canadian city, you know, the Vancouver series with Chicago and Detroit were second to none also. But like I said, great battles. And I think, like you said, people will never forget those games. Hockey's a little different now. It's, you know, it's gone through some, you know, pretty big changes with these rules. And I really enjoyed the game the way it was back then.
Tell me about some of the individual memories for you. Your number one rival, I mean, we remember the battle with Ron Hextall, but was there one player in your career that you battled or had that rivalry with that you'll always remember?
Yeah, without a doubt, my arch nemesis, I guess that's how you'd say it, would be Dale Hunter. That guy, you know, every time we played Quebec or Washington, as a fact, we got into it a little bit there too. You know, I had to be awake. I had to know where he was because the guy, not only was he a good player, but, you know, I guess he was just like me. If he had an opportunity to ring your bell when he could do it when you're not ready, he would do it. And he was one guy, I guess I'm going to admit it now that I'm not playing and he's not, that I feared a lot or was at least aware when he was out there. You know, then it got to the days against Detroit. You know, Proby chased me around pretty good for a while there and actually ended up being one of his best friends in Chicago. So that was nice. And unfortunately, what happened to Bob, sure. You know, my heart goes out to him and his family. It's sad to see a 45-year-old friend go like that. But, you know, it just went by divisions. You know, the Hextall thing was just kind of a single isolated incident. And, you know, I've always liked him. I played against him in junior, so that was just him sticking up for his teammate Brian Propp after what I did to him. So, and not that I felt bad about the Propp thing because I think he deserved it. So I'll leave it at that.
So many games to choose from, championships, Olympics, and all of those. But is there one game, I don't know, the one that was your best or the one you'll never forget? Is there one game that you played in that stands out?
Well, winning the Cup, obviously, the Cups, you remember those last games, the one we won in Calgary, when we won it in Detroit was special because it was at home. But I think a game that really does stick out in my mind was actually the All-Star game in Chicago during the Gulf War, how emotional it was and the, you know, how patriotic everybody was, the flags, the atmosphere in the old Chicago Stadium. I just gotten traded there. So if I look back in my career, that's, you know, one of the most memorable moments, you know, having all the old hockey greats there and, you know, Makita, Hull. That really sticks out in my mind. But like I said, playing for the Montreal Canadiens and, you know, that basically the Forum being a cathedral and breaking in there, my 6 years there was really special. Because that's what really, you know, taught me about the game and teamwork and leadership, having guys like Bob Gainey, Larry Robinson, and then, you know, guys that were up in the press box and watching us. You know, you look at John Beliveau, Serge Savard, and the list goes on. So I've been really fortunate and blessed by being surrounded by guys like that. And, you know, I played for the original six for the most part for my whole career, and those people and those players were around my whole career. So it's hard to try and let, you know, you want to show these teams and show these guys that, you know, you're there for a reason to make them proud. And I really mean that with all sincerity.
Chris Chelios, our guest on the Fan 960, fan960.com. We'll wrap it up with just a couple of quick ones. One, I'd be remiss if I didn't. You played with them. You were coached by them. Daryl Sutter, Brent Sutter, the Sutters. Any thoughts on being around those guys?
You know, at the point I went to Chicago, obviously, you know, Daryl was with Mike Keenan for a long time. And things didn't change too much from his methods. And you know, sometimes it seems like there's a reasoning for this madness. And, you know, Daryl is nothing, you know, phony about him. He wants you to go out there and work hard. You're not going to fool him. I've played with Brent. I've played with Ronnie. And, I have a lot of respect for that family. It's nothing but hard work. And, you know, that's my thing. And if what you lack in skill, you make up with hard work. And that was Daryl's philosophy. Nowadays, there's got to be a little structure, but, you know, if you got the skill, you know, I think, you know, if Daryl or, you know, anyone, Brent, if they got the skill and they can get their skilled players to work as hard as the guys with less skill, then that was their forte. You know, they held people accountable, and I loved it. You know, I really enjoyed playing for Daryl and Brent, you know, playing alongside of him because, you know, they wanted the most and they wanted to win. That's all that mattered was winning with them.
Tell me about life after your playing career with the Detroit Red Wings. What are you doing? Where are you going?
I got four kids. Fortunately, I'm not going anywhere because the Red Wings were gracious enough to offer me this job. And over the past couple of weeks, it allows me to, you know, be kind of free with my schedule with them. And when I can, you know, go to the games, I'll sit with Kenny and Jim Neal up in the press box. I'll travel to Grand Rapids. But the most important thing is they're allowing me to watch my kids. I've got four kids. Two of them are at Michigan State together as freshmen and sophomores. It's only an hour away. I've got a daughter who plays lacrosse, which is a sport I've fallen in love with over the past 5 years. So I'm trying to see her through her senior year of high school, and another daughter who's just starting high school. So I'll be really busy with the kids, and I'll be really busy running around with, you know, the Red Wings and what they have me doing.
You leave this game in what condition? I mean, as you alluded to earlier, you played in some different phases, but the NHL product right now, what condition are you leaving it in, Chris?
The game itself or me physically?
The game itself. the game itself.
The game itself. Well, you know what? I guess it's evolution. And when people in the stands or, you know, people that work for the league that are trying to create more offense and twist and change the rules to I mean, everybody's got the right reasoning, and hopefully it's to benefit the game, because you don't want the game to suffer. I've said he's the greatest game, you know, greatest sport there is, and, you know, mostly because of the crowd and the people around it that have made it, and they're very genuine people. But well, there's going to be a happy medium. You know, being a defenseman, I don't think it's fair that a defenseman can, you know, dish the puck off and you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000, you know, you get run, and you're seeing a lot of bad injuries because of that. And when a forward chips a puck past you, you can't touch him. And, you know, as fast as hockey is, that's why you're seeing all these injuries. Any other contact sport, you know, there's blocking, there's picks. So somehow they've got to find a happy medium, a common ground to equal it all out, because it's not, I don't feel it's very fair right now to the players in that sense. But at the end of the day, you know, you watch the game. If you know the game, it's the greatest game to watch live. And if they can figure out this TV thing and get the right angles and cover a little more of the ice and follow the puck a little better, you know, they'll figure it out. And you know, from a marketing standpoint, they got a lot of work to do. But, you know, there's some new blood coming in, and hopefully some new ideas, and it'll make the game better. And the fans will all benefit from that.
I can't imagine how busy you are today with all of the requests. Thank you for granting ours. It was an honor to watch you play, sir. And for a couple of guys here in Calgary, thank you. You wore the black hat very well, and it made the game better because of it.
Yeah, thank you very much. And once again, I'd like to thank all the fans, you know, across Canada, Calgary. It's been some great years. It was all in good fun. And it was, like I said, I understand, you know, the Canadian mentality. I learned the game there in Moose Jaw. You know, it's not too far from where you guys are. I've done that drive. I played in Lethbridge for a little bit, so I understand. And all that ribbon and everything that went on, it's, like I said, it's over now, and I want to thank you for everything. It's been a great 27 years, and such an honor to play in front of all those people all these years. And you know, I'm going to miss it, but at least I'm still around it.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.